Taxify and Uber drivers have been protesting over the last few days against the back of the recent fuel price increases, and in particular the way that those increases impact the owner drivers or the driver partners. And they've stated that the fuel hikes have made their jobs more difficult and obviously less profitable. And to look at one of the quotes that was published in Times Live, "Our complaints don't matter," the one driver said. "The only allegations they take seriously are those of customers and never the driver." Well, I'm joined now by Gareth Taylor, country manager for Taxify, to find out exactly how they're responding to the recent bout of fuel price hikes. Gareth, welcome to the show.
Michael, thanks for having me.
Now, the drivers have demanded a higher percentage split, and you've responded by increasing your split and your fares as a result. Just dial us back a bit here. How does the actual model work, firstly, to accommodate the variable cost of fuel, which goes up and goes down over time?
Sure. So, Michael, our fares have been remained fairly the same over the last couple of years. One of the things that we focus on is earnings per hour. So the big thing here is maximizing the number of trips that the riders are, that the drivers are able to have per hour,
right,
and thereby being able to maximize the earnings, but obviously making sure that they can get a decent margin at the end of the day as well. So every trip that riders take with these Taxify drivers, 85% of that goes to the drivers themselves, and Taxify, as part of the platform, then takes 15% of that as commission.
And that's actually quite competitive. If you look at Uber, I think it takes about 25%. When the fuel price increases, how is that then factored into the equation?
So when we have a look at the fuel price as a as part of the component of the average trip, we need to take that into consideration. So, I mean, if the fuel price is increased by, 30%, for example, like it has been in the last couple of years, the impact that it has from a percentage basis per trip is significantly smaller than that, because there's a whole lot of other expenses that the drivers are incurring. So there's obviously the vehicles, there's the insurance, there's the airtime, there's the... So yes, it does have an impact, certainly. And because of these increases now, that's why we were proactive about engaging with the management team and making sure that we can make this this change for the drivers to ensure that they can earn a decent living and make good margins on the platform, at least.
The conversation that you're having with the drivers at the moment, and you referenced it earlier, what the ecosystem needs is for a dependable, reliable and consistent service for users to be able to know that when they need a Taxify or an Uber to be able to hail one of those services. The fact is that at this point in time, we're having a bit of a breakdown in that service, which means no one wins in that type of environment.
Yeah, so we were really proactive about this. So at the last price increase that started, we started having conversations with our management team. How do we go about increasing this? Is it going to be that we're going to subsidize the fares for the drivers? In other words, if the fares remain the same for the riders, that Taxify provide additional bonuses and incentives to the drivers, or is it that we do increase the fares to make sure that the drivers get that decent margin? So at the end of the day, we decided it was most sustainable for us to increase those fares. And as you know, in business, it's not about making a decision at the drop of a hat. So this is something that we've been doing and looking at and assessing over the last couple of weeks. We had a couple of meetings with drivers last week as well to get their input on it too. And then made the call. It just so happened that, you know, the drivers decided to come and march and protest at our offices on Monday. And that was the first time that that specific group had ever engaged with us. They'd never spoken to us before. Otherwise, you know, we would have been able to give them the information too. But this is what we were doing.
Quite clearly, what you're trying to do is balance the long-term sustainability of the industry against those variable cost pressures that you face, and being mindful of the fact that if you increase fares to a level that it disincentivizes users to use the service, nobody wins. What has this taught you, though, around the communication channels that you have open between yourselves as the app provider and your partner drivers? Clearly, there is something of a breakdown there that needs to be addressed.
I think there's one or two new parties that have come onto the field recently, Michael, and it seems like, unfortunately, some are more worried about power rather than really engaging with us meaningfully. So that's, I think, the big thing for us to be addressing here. And at the end of the day, drivers on the Taxify platform earn 20% more than competitive platforms, and riders are paying 7% less to use the platform as well. So from it's a really compelling opportunity, both for drivers and the riders. And yeah, I think it's just about us being able to engage with new players who are on the team now.
There has been a concern around driver safety. Obviously, the established incumbent taxi operators in South Africa have responded quite negatively and violently to the arrival of ride-hailing services. And I think it's very well publicized that some of your drivers have feared for their safety. There was a death, unfortunately, in March. What progress have you made to improve driver safety? I know there was a partnership with Namola that you were trialing. How successful has that been so far?
So, yeah, we've rolled out the SOS button in all driver apps. So every driver now has that SOS button that they're able to push that to our assistant. Within a couple of seconds, the Namola team will give them a call back. They'll be able to track their location. They also have really strong relationships with the police stations, the police force that's close by, to be able to hopefully dispatch some of them there. And what we're also working on, which is going to be rolled out very soon, is an armed response service as well, so that there are armed responders who can be dispatched to their driver's location to assist them.
That's encouraging, Gareth. Just for listeners who use and make use of the service, can you provide any assurance that as a management group, you are endeavouring to sit down with these drivers to ensure that you can restore a semblance of normality to service?
Absolutely, Michael. I mean, we've been engaging with the drivers the entire time, and from what I understand, you know, we can see that the drivers are operating. We obviously see the numbers from outside. So Taxify, the service, hasn't been disrupted. You know, yesterday or today, it's still continued as is, with the vast majority of drivers who have continued. So absolutely, there's a lot of drivers who are very happy. I've already spoken to a couple of them today. But definitely, our commitment to you guys, we're driver first. From my background, I'm very passionate about SMEs, and I just believe they're the lifeblood of this economy and job creation. So we need to ensure that they are their businesses are sustainable and profitable. So 100%, Taxify is definitely going to continue engaging with drivers and definitely making sure that they're heard and that they can be profitable and running a decent, sustainable business.
That was Gareth Taylor, Country Manager of Taxify.